Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What's going on? Philadelphia saying so long to the show beforehand. Tyrone Johnson, Andrew Sauchunas, Natalie Eganoff doing an outstanding job. Today, there's a couple of things that I want you guys to know about me. And Tyler's worked with me long enough. Tyler knows some of this. But let's do some get-to-know Joe first before we get into the show. My rules for life are actually fairly simple. And the way that I view things is as follows. If I am not harming you or anyone else or your stuff, leave me alone. Don't tell me what to do. Also, that extends beyond my personal behavior. Also, to my money. Don't tell me what to do with my money. However, another thing about me is that I am never so entrenched in a personal outlook, an opinion, something like that, that I am opposed to changing my mind or hearing from dissenting opinions. I'm always open to having new evidence, new information, change my mind. I like to research things. I don't like to just throw out hot takes. I like to, if I'm going to say something, it's because I feel strongly about something. And if I get new information that causes me to abandon my previous position, then so be it. I think that there is, you know, for some people, not for everyone, an impasse when it comes down to what's happening with Major League Baseball. I think that there's a disconnect between reality and theory when it comes down to it, when it comes down to the owners and everything else. And this all stems from the report. And I'm, to be honest with you, I'm not terribly interested in a labor dispute between the Major League Baseball players and the owners. Like, that is not something that really moves me. But we can talk about it, of course, because it's tangential to this conversation. But the report from Jeff Passan that all of these players in the minor leagues are being laid off, effectively being cut. Hundreds more will be released over the next week. There were hundreds of minor league players cut today who lost their jobs. I think that sometimes when you're talking about a battle, and people always do frame it as a battle between billionaires and millionaires, I think that sometimes the numbers are too large for us to make an informed opinion about it. Now, I'm not speaking about everybody. There are certainly people that are finance majors, people in that sector, accountants, people who are math whizzes, who can visualize these numbers better than I can naturally, right? But for me, you know, a mere sports talk radio host, I have to dumb it down a little bit. So the only way that I could make sense of everything that's gone on with the salary cuts, with the players being cut, with the players losing their jobs, is to turn it into something more digestible, right? So Tyler Zuli, who is the resident abacus of this program, first of all, good evening, how are you?
Joe, you know that I have multiple math degrees.
Yes.
Including advanced calculus degrees.
That's
yes.
Outstanding.
That's a little known fact about me.
Okay, I did not know that.
I got them from the University of my basement.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I made them up, but it's okay.
I never made it past like math blaster. Okay, so that's about as far as I got.
You got past the leapfrog stage. That's step one.
Okay. So I am doing the math in a Major League Baseball organization. there are at the maximum, and we'll just do the maximum for all of this. At the maximum, 290 players, top to bottom, in a Major League Baseball organization. Tyler, pop quiz already number one. How many of those maximum size on the Major League roster?
Now 26.
But in total, like everything that you can put on there.
Correct.
40.
40, yeah,
right?
40-man roster.
So let's just assume, which is untrue, but let's just assume that the 40-man roster is packed to the gills. Okay? We'll get them out. That leaves 250 players. Assuming a 17 standard organizational setup, which is the normal number of minor league teams that people have, is most commonly 7, is what I was reading. Tyler's crunching this math. I think that he'll come down to it, including rookie and short season.
Yes. So so you have usually high and low A.
Yes.
The short season. Rookie ball. That's 4. You got double A and triple A.
Yep.
And then usually at some point there is an international developmental team.
There you go. Okay. Venezuela or like some of these other. Yes. Okay. So 7. So that brings us to $400 times 250 players. And don't worry, the math lesson will be more interesting soon. That adds up to $100,000 per week for minor league players getting the $400 per week with everything that's going on. 52 weeks. There you go. Now, that number brings you to $5.2 million for the year, the calendar year. Not necessarily just the season, but 52 weeks. There you go. $5.2 million. So for the sake of transparency, the Athletics owner, I don't recall his name, Tyler, $2.1 billion is the net worth. So the question is, how much is $5.2 million of $2.1 billion? John Fisher. Yes, thank you. I don't know about you, Tyler. To me, those numbers are too large to make sense. To me, those numbers, I can't tell whether something's fair or unfair in $5.2 million of $2.1 billion net worth. Now, I know that, by the way, not all of that is what you'd call liquid cash, stuff that you could just give out to people, right? But based on my calculations, that is 0.025%. That is to say, once more, that $5.2 million is 0.025% of a total worth. What does that mean? That means that if you are someone who is making $50,000 in a year, that you could keep 250 people employed in your organization for $12.38. Now, once again, I am in the camp where you don't mess with my money. I won't tell you what to do with your money. I don't like being told what to do generally, unless I'm hurting someone or hurting someone's stuff. However, when you view things through this lens, and one of the phrases that I don't really care for is, oh, you can afford it, because, you know, you could just. That just means that other people get to dictate what you should and shouldn't do with your money. However, you can draw your own conclusions where, if my math is correct, 0.025% of $50,000, you could effectively keep people employed for $12.38 for the year. It is difficult, I would say, to view it as a shared fault. It's difficult to view it through the lens of, oh, yeah, well, you know, they're business people and they've got expenses. Surely they do. They have taxes that they have to pay, graduated tax brackets. That means that they're paying probably more taxes, unless they have them hidden in corporations and stuff like that. That, you know, there are all kinds of tax loopholes for people way smarter than me to kind of work through. But basically, asking an owner to pay $5.2 million to keep 250 minor league baseball players employed at this $400 number per week is the equivalent of someone making $50,000 paying $12.38. I'm not saying what owners should do or shouldn't do. However, and this is outside of Mike Trout and some of these other players that potentially under this ownership proposal for Major League Baseball could make $100,000 in a day. Right? Like, I understand. Like, I'm not talking about the Major League players for a second. But when I put those numbers out there, I have to admit it was eye-opening for me, and I thought it was relevant to share with you because, like I said, it's so tough for us to conceptualize sometimes what these big numbers are. And I was never good at math. So just hearing, oh, yeah, well, whatever, I just defaulted towards, and I just don't like people telling people what to do with their money. However, when we're talking about fairness, when we're talking about taking losses in order to stay afloat, percentage-wise, that's the equivalent that you're looking at. Tyler, when I crunch those numbers, let's just pretend and assume that I'm correct. I think I am. What does that mean for you? Is that new information to you?
Those particular numbers are new to me. I kind of was going off of the raw emotional side of things. Mm-hmm. And the stipulation that I will hold to the day that it gets changed or the day that I take my last breath, whichever one happens first, is that minor league baseball players are criminally underpaid to begin with.
Okay.
And they are criminally underpaid by a program, by a league that allows it to happen because these players are, as a lot of owners I think believe, and that's why they pay them so little, are A, playing a game that you know, a kid's game basically, right? A sport.
Yeah, that's what people say. Oops. Telephone.
Yeah, having some issues. Be right back.
Be right back is right. Got the crack team on it.
I had a total phone break down there. That's my fault.
See that.
Apologies.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you do live radio.
That's on you.
It is
absolutely
on me. You're 100% correct.
Telephone.
So what I will tell you is these players get criminally underpaid and owners think that it's okay. And until they change that, I will side with those players specifically every time.
Okay. So that is more of a philosophical approach, which is completely fine. And obviously, it's something that I would say a lot of people have defaulted towards. But for people on the fence, as I would say, not necessarily unsure, but people who want to know all of the information and are trying to look for the all of the facts before firing out an opinion, you know, as I am. I have to say that was pretty compelling stuff. That was fairly compelling information for me. That the equivalent would be someone making $50,000 per year paying $12.38 to keep 250 people employed during this time. Now, logically, does it make sense? Of course it doesn't make sense from a pure financial bottom line standpoint. Right? That's $12.38 that you're pretty much giving away for nothing. You're not selling concessions. You're not selling tickets. You're not doing any of that, right? And when it comes down to it, some, not all, certainly, minor league teams have television deals and stuff like that, but most of them don't. I came in open to either way. You know, if it's a large percentage, you know, I don't know what the percentage would have to be. If I'm making $50,000 a year and I have to pay $10,000 when I'm not making any money in order to, you know, keep people employed, is that the number? Is it 20? Is it 25? Like, I don't know what it is. But I certainly would have an easier decision if it was, you know, pay $12.38 or, you know, potentially 250 people would have to find another line of work. Where do you come down on this? I mean, first of all, you know, without getting too deep into the math weeds, like I said, that'll be all of the math, and then we can kind of get to the rest of the program. Do those numbers surprise you? They surprised me. Also, if I am incorrect, reach out on Twitter and show me where I went wrong, because I thought I did the math properly. And if I'm wrong either way, I know that you know, some other people were trying to do quick math a couple days ago when this first came out, that was how much they were making, and that they were weighing cutting off the pay and the benefits and stuff like that. That there were some sleuths out there correcting math. So let me know. But as far as I know, that is the financial situation. And therefore, even from a philosophical standpoint, if I'm saying, yeah, you know, I don't like telling people how they have to spend their money or how they have to run their businesses, it's a pretty tough pill to swallow when you consider that, you know, 0.025% of the net worth is what you'd have to do in order to stop 250 people from the unemployment line. 610-632-0975. Dan in Westchester leads things off. Dan, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
How are you, man?
Doing okay. How are you?
Good. Yeah, you know, these MLB owners, I'm not going to, you know, criticize them too much, but sometimes you have to man up, and you got to, you might have to lose money for one season, but you have a ton of money in the process. Just make some smart investments on the side, and you should be able to pay these players and give the fans what they want, which is just a season.
Well, and Dan, and that's the thing. Like, at the end of the day, we just want baseball back. That's why I said, like, overall, I could not be less interested in whatever collective bargaining battles going on between the Players Association and the owners. Like, that's not it at all. It's more like, you know, breaking it down, and if you're making $50,000, you can pay $12 and change to keep people employed. It's something you should probably do.
No, exactly. They have billions of dollars. I mean, they're going to lose some. They might lose millions, obviously. But once they get through it, you know, in my opinion, if they're able to come out here, bring a good season together, it's just going to bring them back stronger, because the MLB has been weakening. I mean, a lot of people have criticized them mightily. If they were to come out and, you know, save everything through this season, make everybody happy, they would come back stronger than ever next year. And they don't seem like they're willing to do that. So.
Yeah, I agree. Now, do you anticipate then that with them losing steam, is there another league that, you know, potentially could see what's happening with baseball and not make the same mistakes that seem to be happening?
No. I mean, honestly, they're going to have to figure something out, because I remember George Bush stepped in 2002 and he pretty much told them, dude, this is desperate. You have to reach an agreement or, you know, nothing's going to happen. So.
Sure.
That's just my opinion. I just wanted to mention one thing about the Sixers, too.
Can I do that? Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of people don't discuss this, but this is going to be a neutral court with no fans or anything like this. The Sixers' record, I think they've only had like two losses at home, and they've been terrible on the road.
Right.
How are they going to do on a neutral court? I mean, if they play the way they do on a neutral court that they did at home, they could easily beat the Bucks, and, you know. Who knows?
Right, yeah. Well, it just depends, Dan, and thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. The question with that becomes, do they feed off of the home court and that's why they play so well, or do they struggle away from home because of some other factors? Obviously, everybody's going to have to play on neutral court. Eventually, I would anticipate that in whenever the basketball playoffs start, you're going to see the most talented teams emerge, I think. I think it's going to be less about, you know, matchups and environment and atmosphere, obviously, because there's not going to be any environment and atmosphere. But you're going to see the best teams, I think, emerge. I don't know if that's good or bad for the Sixers. I don't particularly think that this team is unbelievably strong. But at least they won't have to go into hostile road environments and try to win. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. And here's the thing, Tyler, when you're looking at it, like I said, I consider this to be almost a separate argument from what's happening at the major league level. But if you're looking at it from a good faith and goodwill negotiating standpoint, this is not a point in the favor of the owners when it comes down to that battle.
This is going to set up future CBAs in a really bad direction, because it's going to make it more hostile and make it more difficult to get things set. Because these players And I think the owners, too, for a little bit, but I think the players more so are going to be contentious and remember what happened. And remember, you know, hey, remember in May of 2020 when they weren't going to pay us? And then whatever right. follows is whatever's going to follow that statement is going to be nothing but negative.
And I've got to tell you the truth, Tyler. This is going to be an unpopular opinion. From a logical standpoint, I understand where the owners are coming from. Truthfully, I do. From a pure logic, forget the numbers, forget everything. It's, okay, how long am I supposed to pay you to not work? Like, how long am I supposed to continue to support when you're not available to come to workouts or training or OTAs or games or anything? I get that. But when you attach dollars to it, and view it through that lens and what it actually costs, then it is way, way harder to digest than just the pure logical, like, well, yeah, how long is somebody supposed to get paid to not work?
That is the very difficult argument that you're going to have with a lot of people, because if you look at it from a everyday person standpoint, like you kind of started the show with, you know, if somebody is being paid to not work in real life, you know, like an everyday job, they rely on that paycheck. A lot of people work paycheck to paycheck. A lot sure. of people scrape by and make it work. NFL players, MLB players aren't, you would think, with the salary that they have, aren't, quote, scraping by. But also, too, these owners are losing money. It's a very fine line to walk. And I just have to side with the players baseball-wise.
Sure.
Specifically for the minor league players.
Right.
If that's all that I'm going to be able to take away from this, is because I get that owners are also losing money, but, and I try not to do the billionaires versus millionaires thing, but for the minor league player standpoint who are making $400 a week, these guys are legitimately working paycheck to paycheck.
Right. Now, and it is important to bring up, right, not every minor league player makes $400 a week normally. This is like the program that's going on now when no one's working and everything. So, like, that's important, too. But we talked about it on Tuesday. Most of these guys don't have this Scrooge McDuck vault, you know, packed to the ceiling with cash. However, in comparison, if you're making $50,000, you probably have 13 bucks lying around somewhere. If it meant keeping 250 people around. And it doesn't even come down to a business perspective from that point when you look at it that way, because it doesn't matter. What matters is, like, do you care about your employees and all of your employees? Do you care about good faith? Do you care about negotiating in the best possible light in order to serve the fans, to bring the sport back? And I have to admit, when I look at the numbers and I crunch the numbers, it does not appear like that is high on the owner's priorities list. 610-632-0975. Pete, Chris, Todd, sit tight. We're going to get to you next. It is the Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Tyler Zulli's producing. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock here on The Fanatic, discussing the latest news. And obviously, it's kind of a two-pronged thing with Major League Baseball. First, that a whole lot of minor leaguers who are making $400 a week during this stoppage are no longer employed, and more will be released in the coming days. And also that the players, shockingly, as we talked about, just totally balked at the MLB's proposal to cut salaries by 80%. So it's not looking great for baseball. And my question is this going to be a baseball-specific problem? Or with all of the optimism surrounding the NFL and all of the optimism surrounding the NHL, and certainly the NBA is waiting in the weeds. We're going to hear something about the NBA, I would anticipate, in the next 4 or 5 days here about a plan to return to play. Is this a battle that's going to happen with every single league? Because all of the positivity and all of the optimism that people who are hoping for a return to play felt as the NHL announced their proposal and Major League Baseball and everything else, right? The NBA talking about Orlando. If everybody's going to go through this salary battle, I have to admit, I don't know that things are looking too rosy. Kind of a step back today, I would say, with baseball. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to mean something for every other league, because there were those who we talked to. I know Tyler's one of them. I know Lance in Arizona is one of them. We've talked to several others who said, yeah, all this talk is nice about baseball coming back. There's no way that this proposal is going to fly, and there's a lot of runway between now and when you get off the ground with baseball. Players are talking about they want 100 or more games. Owners are talking about they want 80 games. I don't know where the common ground is going to be found unless it is truly both sides just saying, hey, we've got to get something together for this year, and then we can figure out next season. But I don't get the inkling that that's happening yet. I don't know if it's not crunch time. I don't know if there's an artificial deadline. I don't know what it is. All I know is things are kind of bleak in Major League Baseball land. Let's go to Chris in Pottstown next on The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Doing okay.
Good.
I was thinking about all of this in from the perspective of any business.
Yes.
And I think of if an owner owns a baseball team, I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say he may own one or two other things, which mm-hmm. means that's how they got their billions.
Potentially,
I,
yeah.
I would be really interested to look and see, as far as owners go, what their businesses are and how they're handling themselves outside of professional sports. Because, let's be honest, just as you said, minor league, anything, you're second rung. You're mm-hmm. waiting to get your opportunity. You may never get your opportunity. And these owners who are the billionaires and the high-end hundreds of millions do know this for a fact. So the reality is just what you're saying. You're looking at an emotional appeal of, if it's $13 for the regular guy, why is it such a big deal? And it makes me wonder, and you just asked the question, are we going to see this in other sports? I don't think so. I think what's going to happen is you're going to see the other three sports are going to look at baseball and go, yeah, we can't do this because...
Right, cautionary tale kind of
decline. I feel like this is going to be, hey, buyer beware, you saw what happened the last time a major sports organization tried to do this. And it just, what's so bothersome to me is, and I try to fill my head with good news, right? Not the bad stuff, because it's all out there. But when I watch these, like, CEOs of companies who are giving their workers extended pay because they recognize how important they are as workers. So as far as I'm concerned, if you have a guy on a team who's your worker, he's doing something that you feel is worthy of restitution in terms of pay.
Mm-hmm.
Now when it's no longer there, you're going to get rid of them. And then when the time comes, you're going to call them back again. And unfortunately, I think what's going to happen is you're going to see minor league baseball suffer the most, more so than major league baseball.
Well, I think that's apparent. I mean, Chris, we're seeing teams, they're talking about teams going away permanently.
Permanently, right.
So, I mean, that's a lot of jobs that are not going to come back. I think you're absolutely right about that, Chris. So you think, though, this doesn't turn you off of other sports getting it together in time for there to be, you know, actual progress here?
As far as getting it together, I just want to make sure that we get it together so that people are safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I just picked my mom up from the hospital having surgery, and she had to have a COVID test 2 days ago because they don't want to have COVID in their hospital. So my mom has been quarantining herself for weeks for this surgery, still had to get jammed in the head because we can't, as a country, get it together. So I don't know whether I want to see fans filling up auditoriums and fields. And it's, to me, what I want is to go back to enjoying something without that thing over my shoulder. And right now, that thing over the shoulder is the fact that anyone can get it, and some people will die and some people will recover. I don't want to be the person who's responsible for that, as much as I love my sports.
Chris, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. I just did a quick look, too, to try to figure out. It's relevant to me. I don't know why it is, but it is relevant to me how Major League Baseball owners got their money and you know, where their wealth came from. One, from an emulation standpoint, and two, obviously, for an informative standpoint. MentalFloss.com had all baseball owners in 2014, all 30 of them. I only saw three or four where their family was mentioned. And I would bet, now that might not, it's possible that people just didn't know. Like, it's possible that also it's not relevant necessarily that they, to their current job, which is to say, it's not like all of these guys inherited companies that, say, their father or grandfather started, but maybe they started companies with a big round of funding from grandfather or whatever. That is unclear. But it does appear that most of these guys have other businesses that have allowed them to get baseball teams. And certainly NFL teams have gotten passed down to family members and stuff like that. That's happened in baseball as well. The Yankees are a very glaring example there. But yeah, I mean, I do think that there are other ways that these guys are operating. It's not just baseball as their number one, you know, means of income necessarily. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go to Todd next in Allentown on The Fanatic. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Joe. I want to stay away from a couple things.
Okay.
Everybody understands the seriousness of the global pandemic and all that stuff. I have a couple comments and then actually a couple questions. I'm fortunate enough to be one of the people who are currently working. I'm retired. I worked for the county for probation for like 31 years at Allentown.
Okay.
So I have that pension. But now I work for a medical company and I'm a courier. But in all my life, I've never been like a contract person, so I'm not really sure actually even how that works.
Okay.
But in both of the jobs that I've had, and currently working, and thankfully I'm still working because I'm sort of necessary, that there's older people at the company that I work for now who chose to go on furlough, and they should. Older guys and women, or people who have underlying health issues, and mm-hmm. they went on furlough,
mm-hmm.
Meaning like their jobs were safe when it's safe for them, or when they feel it's safe for them to come back. I'm not sure. Am I missing something? Like, I'm trying to look at this like in a big macro picture. So
sure.
If there's no baseball, or there's no sport, and again, I've never signed a contract in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not, like, I think your partner said it. If you're not working, why are we still paying you? If you're not working, why are we still paying you? We're not taking away your job. So,
well, I actually said that, Todd. So
okay.
I guess the question, from a financial standpoint, that's absolutely correct. But
okay.
did you hear the numbers that I put out at the beginning of the show?
Yes, I did. I was listening from the beginning. It doesn't make any sense to me why it's like, okay, no one's working in the country, apparently, except for essential workers.
Uh-huh.
And stuff like that. So, okay, so I'm not going to the ballpark. I'm not going to, you know, like play a sport or do whatever at the ballpark, Matt. So, like, we're going to keep your job. You're not going anywhere, but we can't just pay you for doing nothing. Like, I'm not understanding why it's not a furlough. What am I missing?
Well, so I guess, Todd, just so I'm completely clear on what you're saying, are you saying that you don't, you know that some of these teams are closing effectively? You know that they're getting rid of some of these minor league baseball teams. So it's not like there'll be a job for these guys coming back. And you're asking why is that?
Yes.
Exactly. That's the billion-dollar question. Todd, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Like, that's what I mean. Like, if you want to negotiate, you're negotiating with, say, Mike Trout or Bryce Harper or Max Scherzer or guys who make a ton of money in baseball, and these guys are potentially making like $100,000 a day from you if they hit their playoff incentives and stuff like that. As far as I'm concerned, both parties are free to negotiate. Like, we've said this from Jump Street before this minor league thing even happened, right? If you're the players, you should battle for whatever you think you're worth. You should not give ground on anything if you think that that's going to cost you more than what you're worth or anything like that. It has nothing to do with it. This is a completely separate issue that seems to, like, I don't want to attribute motive, but from the outside, it's like, yeah, do I have to say, if I'm making $50,000 a year, do I have to save you for $12.38? No, of course I don't. But, like, I probably should. Like if I care about you at all, you know, if I could save it for effectively. That equivalent, right? I don't drink this. It's like two or three cups of coffee, right? Like, that's what the equivalent would be?
Still amazes me that you don't drink any coffee.
None. I have no
idea.
Incredible. Is that accurate? Is that the number of gourmet coffees that you
yes,
have to buy?
Okay, I was going to say, if you're going to just a regular coffee shop, you could probably get six or seven for that price.
Okay, but if you're going to the Bucks,
yeah, you're probably getting
like three or four.
Three, yeah, all probably right. Three.
But that's all I'd have to give up to keep 200 feet.
Look, it's not a lot of money.
Look, I'm not dumb. If you ask me about my net worth and my net worth minus $12.38. No kidding, one of them is better for me. Like, duh. I'm not stupid, or at least in this case, I'm not stupid. I might be in other cases. But it seems like it's the right thing to do. Like, it seems like if... Now, this is just the $400, you know, furlough pay effectively, right? This is not counting the stadiums. This is not counting game day staff, concessions, front. It'll cost owners more than that. I understand. Baseball ops people, it'll cost owners more than 0.024 whatever percent of their net, but not much, right? Like, you'd have to think that in terms of the workforce, the players are most of it. Front office staffs might be half that size. If you double it, if you triple it, if you quadruple it, like, say it's $100. Say it's $150. Say it's $200 of your $50,000 salary to keep, you know, all those people employed. I'm not saying that you have to. I will never say that. I hate that idea that you can force people to run a business a certain way. But you probably should, or else people aren't going to want to come work for you. It's not a good place to work if you don't take care of your employees. Look, so there's an adage in business that I've heard for a long time. The customer is always right, right? That we are customer focused. I don't like those companies, to be completely honest with you. I want companies that are employee focused. I want companies that will back you up in the event that there's some jerk who comes in and is complaining about the way that you did something. And it's out of your character and you probably didn't do it. That's how I like it. Do companies have to back you up? Of course they don't. Be nice if they did. It'd be nice if I'm an owner with $50,000 net worth, or $50,000 a year, let's say. And that's, you know, I could pay $13 to keep 250 people employed. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Yeah, I guess that's an important distinction. It's assuming that you're worth $50,000 a year. So that percentage is actually even more jarring, right? Because it's not like he makes $2.1 billion a year. He's worth $2.1 billion. So it's even more jarring if we're looking at it that way. That's an error in the math.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how much money he rakes in every year.
We'll be back. It's the Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, here we go. We were asking the question about net worth because it wasn't an accurate apples-to-apples comparison, right? The average net worth, the mean, this is according to CNBC.com. As of last year, this is accurate. The mean, which is the average, net worth of a U.S. family is almost $700,000. Now, bearing in mind that these numbers could be off because, you know, the uber rich could bring it up, the uber poor, whatever, that's just the average. So working with that same 0.025% of the $2.1 billion net worth of the A's owner, works out to $175.
Still not good.
if you're worth $700,000, let me say this: I am not worth $700,000. And if it meant saving 250 people from being laid off, I could probably scrounge up $175. That's like half of a new game console. That's what it is. Oh man. See, I want to, and Tyler, you know this, I want to go in with an open mind. I never go in with a preconceived notion one way or the other in disputes and stuff like this. But the numbers are really bad. They're really, really bad if you want to have an opinion other than owners don't need to do this and they just are.
Well, and that's the thing. It becomes a horrible optic for the owners. And again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier. The players are going to use this as fuel and as ammunition when the next CBA rolls around and when the CBA after that rolls around. Although I will tell you this, these current players feel this way. Ex-players do not. Do you want to hear? Kyle Loesch put out a tweet.
Oh, he did?
Remember Kyle Loesch?
Yes.
Tweeted at Trevor Bauer, who is obviously always one of the most vocal players in Major League Baseball. Tweeted at Trevor and he said, I'm just going to chalk this one up to immaturity. While your generation is talking MLB business while playing video games and complaining publicly how the union is doing, us out-of-touch ex-players aren't happy standing by watching you wreck what we built.
Whoa. Whoa. Says, I have so much more to say on this, but I'm going to let it go for now. Wow. Got fired up. Let's go to Pete in Princeton next on The Fanatic. What's up, Pete?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Great. How are you?
Yeah, did a little research in my time listening to your show, and I just want to throw a couple things out there with Harper, just using him as an example.
Okay.
So what we want to do is, let's go from the owner's point of view.
Okay.
We want you to play, take a 66% cut, because it'd be from $27 million to $7 million. So he'd be losing about 65% of his salary. Mind you, you still have to pay your agent. You still have to pay your mortgage. All of those percentages are the same.
Right.
So your agent still gets 10% of $27 million, not $7 million now, of the $27 million. All your financial decisions that Bryce Harper has made has been made up the fact that he's making $27 million, just like we make decisions based on our salary.
Sure, okay? Of course. Yep.
So that being the case, so for me to then ask someone, like, you know, if I would ask you, I want you to take 66% pay cut, still do exactly what you're doing, your mortgage is still the same, everything is still the same, or you can sit home and we're still going to pay you everything. I don't. That's where I'll side with Harper, I think, on that part. My other part that I'll disagree with is I just picked, only because it's the closest one to me, I picked the AA Trenton Thunder.
Okay.
That's a middle of the road group. It's not single A, it's not triple A, it's all double A. Those poor guys making $400 a week, every single player on that team signed a signing bonus for over $200,000. And they're all under 23 years old.
Wow.
So So, you know what? This whole thing about, oh, they're underpaid, I can't believe it, $400 a week, oh my God, how are they going to do it? They, to even step on the field, they signed a signing bonus of $200,000. So, I don't, and by the way, I think if Major League Baseball, anything comes out of this, that they lose a level, does baseball really need rookie, A, high A, double A, triple A? Do we really need all those levels in Major League Baseball? Seriously.
Well, I mean, Pete, it's a question that people have grappled with, and thanks for the phone call. I'll talk about a couple things. One, I don't think so. I don't think that you need that many minor league teams. Now, there are a lot of people that say, yes, you do, because it's so hard to get prospects to the major league level that you need as many cracks that you could possibly get at it. I understand that. I just don't agree. I just think get better at your job, get better at scouting, get better, like, player development. That's how I look at it. I think that there are far too many minor league baseball team.
I have to disagree with you.
Okay.
And the reason being is because there is no other sport when you go from the amateur ranks to the professional ranks that changes one implementation, one aspect of the game more so than baseball. Hockey, same style of play. Arena, I think the college arena is a little bit, or college rink's a little bit smaller. But other than that, no changes. NFL, football's a little bigger. Obviously, guys are better. 2 feet in bounds. Obviously, some
small, hash marks.
Right, some smaller stuff, but doesn't change how to play the game.
Okay.
When you go from the high school or college ranks to the professional game, now I know that it's trending back this way a little bit. You are going from an aluminum bat to a wood bat. It is an entirely different form of playing the game. I'm a terrible baseball player. I became a better pitcher when the league changed from aluminum to wood.
Of course.
Because things that guys were getting on the inside of an aluminum bat and, you know, lofting over a shortstop's head or a second baseman's head for a base hit are now broken bats. They're outs. A lot of guys...
But what does that mean? Like, isn't that... I'll give you that there are different results.
Yes.
Right? But does that change from a player to player? Like, do you have to learn how to hit with a wooden bat?
Yeah, I think you do.
Or do the better hitters... Do the better hitters emerge because they're hitting with wood bats and they're still getting results?
You see what I'm saying? See, the top rises, yes. But for the average player and below, the below average players, they have to learn how to hit with a wood bat because just what I just said, you're going to break the bat, you're going to get sawed off, you're going to get stingers.
Mm-hmm.
Things that were hits for you in college that may have been the reason you got drafted or signed as a free agent aren't hits anymore. And there's a reason that, you know, guys don't make it out of high A or rookie ball or whatever. You know, most good players play in rookie ball for 3 weeks or four.
Right.
You know, it's
and then you're on to the next.
Right. And then you're going up to single A. But for some of these guys, that is where the difference, the separation is different because they've never learned how to hit with a wood bat. And now all of a sudden these things aren't falling and their batting average falls from 360 to 210 and they're not moving up.
Oh, that's fair enough. Oh, I guess it's the same thing. Like, if you are... Let's put it this way, right, Tyler? If you have fewer major league organizations or fewer minor league organizations, then... That pretty much means that you just have fewer of those developmental guys, doesn't it? Doesn't it mean that you just have a concentration of the
better players?
The better players.
Yes.
What's the problem?
I think that is correct. The one thing that I will also try to point out is that is okay for the guys coming out of college because they are 21, 22, 23-year-olds. They're almost men, if not men already.
Okay.
They are probably ready to go right to... You know, for the Phillies' sake, go right to Clearwater, and if not Clearwater, at least Lakewood.
Okay.
Like, you could probably eliminate Williamsport and the rookie ball for a lot of those guys. But it's more important for the 18-year-old coming out of high school.
Got it.
To go play in those developmental leagues.
Okay. I've got thoughts on this, too, but we've run into a breather. And we're also going to talk to Mitch and Dan when we return. Want to give them their full time. 610-632-0975. Then we have wide open phone lines for you. Talking Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.